Wednesdays, and Saturdays in May. You could win a share of $30,000 only at Isle of Capri Lula. Must be 21. Event is subject to change or cancellation without notice. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
Welcome back to the Fury Electric Studios, home of The Zone on the Buzz Radio Network. Listen to your favorite radio station, the Buzz iPhone app, or online at 1037thebuzz.com.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fook's, gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
Welcome back to The Zone. There is a Red Bulls version of this.
Is there really?
Yes. Is this it?
No, I'll this have
to get
that.
No, this is not the one. We got to find that. We got to find the Red Bulls one. I thought that's what you were shooting for when I heard the first
Well, I was thinking song. Along the same lines, I guess.
Yeah, there is an actual... Somebody did a Red Bulls version of that after they changed over from the Indians back in the day. But anyway. Welcome back. Justin Akery, Christina LeCure today at the Bridal Cottage in North Little Rock. Yes, I never thought I would be doing a show at a Bridal Cottage. Or any sort of bridal store. Steve in the Spa City on the Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback says, doing a sports talk show from a bridal shop? Akery, turn in your man card if you haven't already. Look, well, this is a celebration of Lindy Blackstone working somewhere else and not terrorizing me each and every day. So by God, I'm here to celebrate Lindy's success in her new endeavor. And I appreciate all the good times she gave us at the Buzz. So this is a pat on the back to our old friend Lindy Blackstone. Guess what? We'll come back for the 2.5-year anniversary too. By golly. We go to the Revolution Hotline, where tonight at the Rev Room, it is Tom Kiefer. That's right. The Woo-hoo! Lead singer of Cinderella going to be in the house tonight. Big Cinderella fan, John Brady, joining us on the Revolution Hotline. Coach?
Yes, sir. I'm good, Jason. You all right?
I'm awesome.
Good.
You big Cinderella fan, Coach? I know you're quite the music aficionado.
Well, I'm not as familiar with Cinderella as I am some others. You may have to clue me in on them.
Cinderella is one of those... 80s hair bands, kind of like Poison and some others. I bet if we played a few of their hits, you'd recognize it.
Are you more into like George Strait and stuff like that, Coach?
No, he's a rock and roll guy, but he's old school.
He's old school.
I was a Poison man back in the day, but Cinderella, were they kind of a come and go band, or were they around for a few years?
They had a few hits. When we wrap up the interview, we'll play you a song on the way out.
Okay. All right.
So, Big Baby, find us Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone, or was it not Gypsy Road? That was called Gypsy Road. We played that yesterday too. So, yeah, you remember.
Okay. Peter.
Tom Kiefer has what you call a very unique voice.
I see.
He sounds a little bit like Joe Klein. So, except he sings better. So, anyway. Okay. So, Coach, I got to be honest. I was really intrigued by the story that we saw earlier in the week, and yeah. I guess it maybe came out late last week. Brandon Reed, after starting his career at ASU, went to Georgia Tech. Had varying levels of success there and has decided to come back and wrap up his college basketball career at ASU. Can you talk to me about the process, I guess, from him leaving, how that all went down, and then how he contacted you or how it came about that he returned to Jonesboro or is going to?
Well, we signed him out of Atlanta. He was from Atlanta, grew up there, and he played high school basketball there, and we signed him and really had maybe one other Division I offer coming out of high school. And then came here and had a phenomenal freshman year. He broke a 38-year-old freshman scoring record year. Jerry Rook, who was one of the best players ever to play here, he broke his freshman scoring record. He averaged over 16 a game in league play. He was a freshman of the year in the Sun Belt. Decided in the spring or late spring, early summer, to transfer to Georgia Tech. And at first I wouldn't give him a release because I didn't think it was the right thing to do. And especially when we offered him a scholarship and Georgia Tech watched him play in AAU and never, looked at it until he was able to come here and have some success and show what he could do. And I told him when he left, I thought he was making a mistake. You know, it's not like it's in my first rodeo to go around this thing. And he went over there and sat out a year and they had a coaching change. Which hurt him a little bit, I think. And then his first year there, the BLs, we started almost every game, averaged, 6 or 7 points a game. And then the second year, he started the first 8 or 9 games this past year. And then his playing time diminished as it went along. And, you know, throughout that process, you know, his dad from time to time would send me, you know, Merry Christmas or whatever, a text or something like that, and I'd respond, but I never really talked to him. But our players, Trey Finn and some guys who were here with Brandon, and our managers kept in touch with him. And then after this year, his high school coach called me. And also in the meantime, Chad Dollar, who was my assistant here and signed Brandon here, left me to go to Wichita State, and then a year ago took an assistant's job at Georgia Tech where Brandon was. Just coincidental that that happened. So his year was over, and his high school coach called me and asked me if I would be interested in taking Brandon back for his senior year, because he, you know, felt comfortable with me, and I was always honest with him. I told him the truth, and he had a great experience here. It wasn't anything he left here because he didn't like it. It was just because he wanted to be closer to home, and at the time he had some family issues and that he wanted to be closer by, you know, and all that sort of thing. But and I said, yeah, I'd be interested in that. So he got his release. I went down to Atlanta and met with Brandon. We talked for about 2 hours. I talked with his mom and dad about it extensively, and then we flew Brandon up for a visit. And it all worked out. You know, he was a little concerned of what fans would think of him leaving and then coming back, and which is, you know, logical thinking. And I said, Brandon, you got two things in your corner. I said, number one, the first 25-footer you make, they'll all fall out of the stands and say, yay, Brandon, I'm glad you're back.
Yeah.
And I said, and number two, you're going to have the head coach in your back pocket. So nothing else really matters, because I'm going to let him play, and he's going to play through mistakes, and he's going to hopefully have a good year like he did his freshman year, which I think he will. So, you know, I've been in this business a long time, and I'm not into, you know, a young man makes a mistake, just throw him out there and let him hang. You know, he admitted he made a mistake and wants to come to a place where he felt comfortable with and start his career. I think it speaks well that he and I still had a good relationship, and he respects me for what I told him and how I handled him when he left here, even though I wasn't happy about it, but at least I told him the truth. And he felt comfortable enough to want to come back. So we've decided to bring him back based on what I think are the right reasons. And you make decisions based on that, and then you just see what happens.
I would, you know, I think it says a lot about you that you don't have hard feelings and you're willing to take him back after, you know, his decision to leave against your wishes, mm-hmm. Or against your, you know, recommendations, I guess, would be a better way to say it.
Both are correct.
Yeah. but, you know, some people will ask, Coach, and I'm just playing, I got to play journalist here for a minute and say, okay, yeah. If this guy averaged 3 points a game for you his freshman year, are you still, you know, welcoming him back with open arms at this point?
Well, of course not. I mean, you know, no. I mean, he can help me do what we want to do as a team, and I can certainly help him do what he wants. You know, there's no one-way street in any kind of relationship or anything. And had he averaged 3 points a game here, he wouldn't want to come back anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, I think that's really a good question, but I think it's a mute question because he had success here and feels comfortable, wants to come back where he had success, feels comfortable with me. But, no, if he couldn't make a basket or if he wasn't a good enough player and left here because of playing time, no, I wouldn't want to bring him back. But no coach would. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not just me, it's anybody.
Right.
So, but in this particular case, because he did have a great freshman year here, he was a Sun Belt Freshman of the Year, set a scoring record here as a freshman, you know, he wants to come back. You know, I'll take them back. You know, we want to win games. Nobody gave me a definition of as long as you play within the rules. They didn't say who, how, or why, or where he comes from. It's really about winning games, and he's going to help us win some games, hopefully, and we'll see. You know, we just see where it takes us.
It's like the line from the movie. The guy says, oh, it's a profit thing. Yeah, well, in college basketball, it's a winning thing. So that's kind of the idea.
I've coached long enough to figure that one out.
Yeah, well, and Coach, you've coached long enough, too, where pride does not get in the way. And for some coaches in this situation, it certainly would.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's not about pride. You know that guy's going to come back and play well for you, so you might as well have him back.
Well, pride is a wrong emotion to make any decision on that is going to last. And so you try to eliminate those the best you can. I'm not into I don't take pride in dismissing players or kicking them off a team. I go as far as I can with them before they start compromising what I believe in. And in this particular case, you know, Brandon's not compromising anything that I stand for. And I think it's a good message that he understands he made a mistake leaving. I didn't really want him to leave. I reacted because I had my feelings hurt a little bit when he did want to leave. I was shocked and surprised. But I think it's a good thing that he wants to come back. That means somewhere along the line, he felt like he was dealt with fairly here and up front.
Absolutely.
And if he feels comfortable enough to come back and play for me, I'm certainly not going to stand in that way. Plus, as you said, he can make a basket, and that makes a difference also.
There's no doubt. Coach, there's been a lot of changes in the Sun Belt. I think most people understand that. What are your expectations this fall as far as how the league's going to look and what your expectations are for your team, especially when you consider the fact you get a top-level guard coming back to be part of what you guys are doing?
Yeah, well, from a basketball standpoint, the changes within the Sun Belt I don't think are significant in terms of the competitive level of it. You know, Georgia State is coming out of the Colonial. They're a good team. Texas State's a good team. Arlington's had a good season the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Appalachian State had good basketball. I think from a football standpoint, some of the schools that are still making that transition to the BCS level, it'll hurt us a little bit because I think some of the schools we're losing from a football standpoint are a little more competitive or not as competitive as the teams that are leaving. And I don't think basketball is that much different. So I don't mind it. I don't mind the change. And I think the Sun Belt's being proactive a little bit and trying to anticipate and looking now to add one or two more teams to get us to an even playing field of 14, possibly at least 12. And I think we're going to be able to do that, and I think it's going to be fine. My team, I like our team. We had three players sitting out. We had a 6'9 young man, a 6'8 young man sitting out. We had a 6'4 guard sitting out. It was the leading scorer at Texas San Antonio. So, you know, I like our team. We've got enough good players coming back. We had a good recruiting class coupled with the guys sitting out. So from a talent standpoint, this will be my best team. My biggest challenge is with the number of talented players we have, can I get the chemistry right and can we be unselfish enough to play as a cohesive unit and win the games that we're expected to win? And that's going to be our biggest challenge.
Coach, you watched much of the NBA playoffs?
I do now. Yeah, I like watching at this particular time. I think they're are playing hard. They're playing tough. They run good stuff. And I think they're the best athletes in the world, so I like watching them right now.
Anybody you're pulling for?
Not really. I'm trying to try a tradition. I like Boston's team. I like LA's team. And since they're not very good, I really like Oklahoma with Westbrook in there. But, with him not a part of that team, he's a big part of that team. I didn't think they would advance. But I tell you, that Memphis team right here, next door to us, is a blue-collar, hard-working, tough-minded team. And I think they've got a shot, and it's going to be interesting to see how they play down the stretch.
Coach, appreciate the time. We'll get you on again at some point over the summer. I want to check in and see how things are going. I know you're going to have your guys working hard, getting ready for the coming season. But appreciate making some time for us today. We're going to give you a little Gypsy Road from Cinderella into the break. And,
all right, Jack.
If you're hanging around Central Arkansas tonight, you need to pop into the Rev Room and go watch this guy. I think it'll bring back some good memories. If you like Poison, I think you would dig Cinderella. So, just saying.
I appreciate it.
Coach, thanks so much. Take care.
Okay. All right.
All right. ASU coach John Brady. And you know what I love about him? Most coaches would say, oh, yeah, sure. You know, we want to give a kid an opportunity to come back, even if he only averaged 3 points. John Brady's like, no, come on now.
Heck no.
I love
him. Good.
I like the honesty. That's what you get. I mean, that's a good thing. You know what? I would say the same about Coach Shields and several others. They'll give you the real deal. They won't coach speak you to death. And John Brady's always been a pretty straight shooter, man. He's always been good to deal with. So I appreciate him coming on. Brandon Reed coming back. It's a really unique story. You don't see something like this happen very often. I can't remember another situation. I'm sure there are several times that's happened over the years. I just can't recall one off the top of my head, to be honest with you. Coming up, we're going to talk to an Olympic gold medalist.
I'm excited.
I think the only Olympic gold medalist we've ever had on the show is Joe Klein. speaking of, as we were earlier. But, yeah, we're looking forward to talking to Allie Reisman, who is part of that great gymnastics team, great performance over in London at the Olympics. And she's now trying to win another coveted prize.
And who's she with? Mark Ballas?
Yeah.
Is that who she's with? All right.
Dancing with the Stars champion.
That would be. We need to start watching that now.
Yeah, well, we will. You only got one more chance because Monday's the final.
Perfect.
Yeah, that would be a good feather in her cap. We'll be back. We are at the Bridal Cottage in North Little Rock. Food, beverage, fun. Come see us in North Little Rock on JFK. Be back in a moment.